Welcome to Escapes. I'm Erica Hemphill, and I am thrilled to invite you on this empowering journey. Join me as we explore the art of escaping self-doubt, the constraints of the 9-to-5 grind, the false realities that hold us back. We'll empower you to embrace entrepreneurship, motherhood, and co-working with your partner, and to boldly step into leadership roles that were once thought unattainable. Escapes is more than a podcast. It's a community of resilient women and men who are rewriting their stories, chasing their dreams, and smashing through glass ceilings. Together, we'll share stories of triumph, strategies for success, discuss our failures, and use insights from remarkable individuals who have paved their own paths to greatness. So join me, Erica Hemphill, as we unlock the doors to your unlimited potential. It's time to escape, empower, and embrace. Oh, and elevate. Your adventure begins now. Well, hello world. Here we are on our next episode of Escapes. And I am so glad that y'all have chosen to escape with me for about 30 or 40 minutes today, because I have this amazing power couple on with me today, Miss Stacy and Russell Levin. They are local real estate agents and entrepreneurs right here in our own hometown. And I am so excited to have them and to hear what they have to share about their power couple experience. And so let's just jump right in. So, hey guys.
Hey.
Hey.
Welcome. Welcome.
Super excited to be here.
Oh my gosh. I'm so excited that y'all are here. Y'all are so awesome. And so can you guys introduce yourself to our lovely podcast world, please?
Sure.
Absolutely. Okay. So we have been married for 19 years. Ooh-hoo. And my last name is Levin and Russell's last name is Mayu.
Yeah. And, okay. Yeah. Foot in mouth, but good clarification.
That is something that's funny, and it's part of our story, actually, yes. And why what the name of our company is Ram, and why it is Ram. So we can definitely leave that in and explain that too. So I have been in real estate for about 10 to 11 years, and Russell and I have worked together in real estate for about 5 years. And, but even when we first got married, we've kind of always worked together. So we ran a bar together when we first got married, and then we worked at the same restaurant when after Katrina, and we moved to Houston. And so we've always, worked well together.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Well, that's a crazy journey within itself. So I'm excited.
Yeah. For 19 years, we've worked together almost when we started dating, just kind of how those dynamics worked.
Yeah. So Russell, tell me, I probably know a little bit more about Stacy, but tell me a little bit how the adjoining kind of came in. What were you doing before or kind of working on? And then how did you and Stacy really merge the partnership together? Obviously, besides marriage.
So in another life for me, I was actually in the hotel industry and I did really, really, really well. I was, regional director for a company called Equivest, which was basically a hotel flipping company, is what they were. And I was in charge of properties in San Antonio, New Orleans, Houston, North Carolina, St. Thomas on the Virgin Islands, and Miami. So I was all over the place.
All over the place.
And all over. And I did really, really well financially, but it came with a sacrifice, and the sacrifice was my life was changed. Everything in my world revolved around my work. My two oldest kids, they suffered. I mean, I wouldn't change any of it now, but 20 years ago, it was your world's turned upside down, and you had to make a decision to continue on a certain path or go a different way.
Right. Hindsight 2020, right? If we could only tell ourselves what we know now back then.
Exactly. So I was going through a divorce. Stacey and I actually met online when it wasn't cool to meet online. Let's say that. It was not cool to meet
years
online.
Ago.
So we weren't swiping left or swiping right.
It was email only.
Yes. Yeah,
it was not even like chat or text or it was email. Yeah. And you got mail.
Yeah. Her and I just bonded from instantaneously. Our very first date, we met at Denny's, and we were there for 8-9 hours, probably just
probably four hours.
Give it to him, Stace. Give it to him. Not ours.
My world was changing a lot more than hers were, especially from a professional level, coming out of one industry specifically going to a different industry. And then life for us happened. We got married right before Katrina. We had a child that unfortunately passed away not long after she was born. So we had so many variables within our life that just brought us together. Yeah. And that's why we only dated for 6 months, maybe, before we got married. But that's because of what we went through during that 6 months was just life-changing for the both of us. We knew that this was going to matter.
Yeah. Okay. So that was a hard time for y'all. But look how, just like you said, how much stronger that made you in like such a short amount of time. And I think that's key. Sometimes in relationships, in my own opinion, we are seeing more now that individuals are like dating longer, or they're waiting longer to get engaged and to get married. I mean, it's like this new fad. My brother is 10 years younger than me, and he is like nowhere near ready to settle down. He is all about his journey for work and where he's going and investments and all that. And I wouldn't know what to do. Me and Garland only dated the 8 months before we got engaged, and we were married like within a year, you know? Yeah, so exactly. I definitely think that society's changing that for sure. So I think that's a testament to you guys on a short period of time. And you said you guys have been together for how long now?
19 years.
Married for 19 years. So with saying that, let's just jump right in. So how is it working together? Don't give me the fluff and fluff of it, because I'm going to tell you the real deal with me and Garland working together. So, but really, like, what is it like in the day of Stacey and Russell?
So when we first started really working together, especially now in this industry, it was hard. It was hard to juggle our personal life. It was hard to juggle work and whose responsibilities was this going to be? Whose responsibilities was that going to be? We had nothing defined. We didn't know. Mm-hmm. And we went through some serious challenges in the very beginning of this. It was really tough. It was really, really tough. And then over time, we just started to figure it out.
Right.
We had to make a decision to focus ourselves on what our strengths were and where we were going to fit in. And for us, it's kind of backwards. People may not see it that way, but in our relationship, I'm basically the mom. You know, we've structured to what my responsibilities are on this team, to where that's going to enable me to go to softball practice, to take myself to the choir, go to work, those type of things.
So Russell, I'm going to applaud you on that, because I think, first of all, let me tell you, and I think you know this about Garland and I, but for our listeners, Garland takes on that role in our dynamic. And I think that that's a very different role for our generation, the way previous generations had looked at that. And so I always tell Garland, I commend him for that. Look, I am a very A personality, out there, social bug, promote, branding, dreamer, visionary. And he is like that 100% rock that's like, okay, what do I need to do? Okay, so Kipton's got baseball practice, Aubrey's got dance, I can do this, I can do that. I can do laundry, I can clean, I can cook, I can whatever. But he also works with me during the day too. So I don't diminish that time either. But it used to be that the female would have to sacrifice a little bit to not elevate. And I think now the more couples like y'all and us that are okay saying that we're going to take on these equivalent parts, that I'm going to do laundry sometimes, you're going to do laundry sometimes, you're going to cook, you're going to go to baseball practice, I'm going to go to baseball practice. It really synergizes. Like, it makes it so that we grow. We grow as a couple. We grow as a business. And so I think that that's a big factor that probably some couple entrepreneurs struggle with, because one person has to be the leader. It doesn't matter which way you look at it.
That's exactly right.
Somebody has to take that role. And I think that I commend you for that, because I know how much at the beginning, that was hard for Garland. I mean, if we're being really raw and honest, he went from a seven-figure corporate job to now everybody sees him, a hand up, truth be told, driving kids at 3:30. He's going into carpool. Yeah. He's going to pick up kids.
And he's Erica's husband. Erica's
yes.
husband.
So, yes.
So yeah, that's how it is with just like, you know, you calling us Stacey and Russell Levin. It's Stacey's husband. But we have, and one of the main keys that we have learned to help us grow and continue to grow is our weekly meeting. So me and Russell meet together every Monday morning from 8:15 till about 10 with our calendars. And we have an agenda. We go through our agenda, and it is syncing our calendars with who's got what practice in, who's bringing who to practice, who's bringing who to work. Cause I also have a 16-year-old that has three jobs. And, and then I have also, he does a lot of stuff for my business or our business, as far as going, like this morning, he had to go pick up a grill that was left at a house from a closing that they didn't want the grill there. And so he had to go put it in the garbage can. He had to pick up my sign. He has to go measure windows so we can order windows for the inspection for a seller that I have. So he kind of does all the little things as well. But our weekly meeting is where we sit down and talk about our investment properties. We talk about expenses that we've had. We talk about what's coming up in the next week. And everything. And so it kind of gets us on the same page now. And if we forget something at that meeting, it causes a problem because he's like, I told you about it. No, you didn't. Yes, I did. And
I
had no idea. And I'm like, it's not on my calendar. And he's like, but I told you. I'm like, but it's not on my calendar. And
well,
so,
and I know that you and Russell are very good about that because I've tried to set up meetings with you guys and both of you not knowing it, FYI, will text me back and say, hey, I can't meet because I have a meeting with Stacy, or hey, I can't meet because Russell and I have our meeting, but we can meet after that. So I know that y'all stay faithful and true to that. And I think that is an amazing little nugget for all of our couple entrepreneurs that you do have to have that one-on-one time because yeah. I bet y'all will tell me this. Right. I was just about to say that. I was just about to say that because it also keeps it out of the personal space too, so that you're not talking about calendars and work and upcoming stuff whenever you're supposed to be at home and focusing on the relationship side of it. Right.
That's the biggest mistake people make when couple, and we've learned this, and that's what, when we're going to get into this, this is kind of what created our little seminar for married couples. But even though we work together every single day, when we get home, it's home life. We have about maybe an hour of wind down time where we sit around our fire every single night, chit chat. But from that time we get home to the time the kids go to bed, nothing is mentioned about work. It's only about our family, our house, you know, our personal life. That's our goal.
So that is one question. Well, that's what I was just about to say. But I get that question all the time, and I would love to hear y'all's input on that, because the number one question I get is, Erica, how do y'all separate work and personal time? And look, there is some gray areas there. You know it. I know it. There's some days that we just come home and we just haven't finished work stuff yet, and we need a little bit more time to talk about that. Or there's a house that's going to closing and you've got stuff that needs to be finished up and you're just, you know, trying to figure that out. But what is y'all's best advice for couples that are trying to define that line of like, when do we turn it off and when do we turn married life and family life on?
So, I mean, one of the big things is we do try to have dinner together.
And as a family, all the kids.
And as the thing is, it doesn't matter who cooks the dinner. If Chili's cooks the dinner or Domino's cooks the dinner, it's perfectly okay as long as we are eating together, because we do talk. And then we also pray together at night. So the kids pretty much go to bed at 9 o'clock. They probably stay up on their phones longer, you know, than 9 o'clock. But we go in their room, or we go in my daughter's room because she has the biggest bed, at 9 o'clock. The dogs come jump on the bed. It's like everybody knows that this is our little family time. And usually for about 15 minutes, we wrestle with the dogs, we wrestle with each other, we tease each other, we tell each other that, ooh, your legs are prickly. I mean, like, whatever it is. And my daughter says every single time, this is my favorite part of the day. This is my favorite part of the day, because we just are laying around in her bed and we pray together and then we, go to bed. But that 15 minutes before bedtime is probably more important than any other time of the day.
I love that. I love that. So you threw a little nugget in there and I'm going to refer back to it. So I know that you guys are working on a seminar to hopefully offer to couples. And can you tell us a little bit about what that might entail? You don't have to give all the good juice in it, but can you give us a little bit of information about what that is going to look like or how y'all see that playing out and what that means to you guys?
So the name of our training class is called Rhythm, and it's basically because we kind of toss around other different names, but we really like that. We noticed that we were using that word when we were talking about our dynamics together, that we have a rhythm, and it's not always the same. Sometimes I do play more of a housewife, and then 6 months later, I'm working until 8 o'clock at night, every single night for a month. So, and it's a rhythm. So we're constantly going up and down, straight across, zigzag, but we go together and we keep that rhythm. And so anyway, so we want to teach other married couples that are in business together, that have a career together, also how to be okay with changing. And that's the whole thing. Because a lot of people don't like change, and you have to change. I'm not the same person I was when we got married 19 years ago. He's not the same person that I married 19 years ago. And good thing, we all change and we have to change together and stay in rhythm. And so ultimately, we would like to have... If we'd like to start off with a couple of hour class, and we kind of envision it with like maybe some wine and cheese and a couple of couples, amen, sitting together talking and having like a workbook and stuff that we go through, because communication, we have different, chapters. And then ultimately we would like to grow it to where it's a retreat.
It's a retreat.
Where, the couples actually spend the night, have dinner together, have homework together, because let me tell you, the bedroom, the intimacy is a huge part in the dynamic of working together and having a good marriage. Because if things aren't right with intimacy, then it's going to reflect in your business and at home.
Absolutely.
Especially since you work together.
And men and women work in two different fashions in that word, because I think a lot of reading that I do, because obviously I'm a couplepreneur too. So obviously that is something that Garland and I talk about. He's like, when do you ever turn it off? Because I honestly, truth be told, I can sit here and have a conversation about work or not about work, and my brain's saying about something else. And I can absolutely comprehend everything that we're talking about. I'll remember everything we're talking about, but I'm going 90 miles a minute about what I'm going to do, what's next, okay, what's my next creative thing. And so intimacy is huge. And so I've had to learn over the last 3 years, because Garland's been with me for 3 years, or been with us at ENG full-time 3 years, that we do have to make time for ourselves. And that's not just time for ourselves, like to be with our kids. It's time for us to be by ourselves without the kids. And we didn't do that for a long time. And then just like you said, it's like a volcano. Look, my husband says it's scientific. If he was here, he'd be like, it's scientific. You want me to take the trash out extra, babe? Meet me in the bedroom. You want me to do extra at the house? Meet me in the bedroom. Like it's an ongoing joke around here. Sometimes he'll just walk in the door and he's like, it's scientific. It's scientific. So that is a true thing. And I think for people to be vulnerable, I think it would have to be, I like the word retreat. I like where you're going with that, honestly, because it would have to be in a setting that people or couples felt very comfortable with, of being very vulnerable about talking about intimacy. A lot of people don't want to talk about that. Especially if we're in a small town, you're worried about who you're talking to at that retreat that's going to go out to town and tell them, oh man, let me tell you what I heard.
So that's what I thought. I really thought that as well. But we've had this class.
Yeah.
And that was like, I had to keep changing the subject because we had to move on. Everybody liked to talk about it.
Oh.
And we had couples in there that were older than us.
Engaged, all the way from engaged to be married that are working together to married for 40 years.
Yes.
It covered the whole spectrum. But, it was an incredible class.
Everybody talked, and the people that were married for 40 years really helped the ones that were engaged. And it was really awesome. It was better than I could have thought. But I think people, it could have been the wine. It could have been the wine. After one glass of wine, I think maybe you can talk more freely.
Yes. But hey, that's the starting point. Get that's the wine right. and cheese out, and then we that's will right. go to town. But you touched on another one that I think is great, is communication. Women and men communicate very differently, very, very differently. And to know your spouse's 5 love languages. I am a huge advocate for that. Whenever I talk to couples, I want to know, like, what is their love language? What is your spouse's love language? If you don't know it, you need to know it, because like Garland is affirmation. He wants affirmation. He is not a gifts person. He is not any flashy anything. He is affirmation. So if I leave him a note, or if I write on the mirror in the morning, or if I just leave a note on his desk, that means more to him than anything. I am affirmation to an extent, but then I am show me, hold my hand, lay by me, rub my head or my feet when I've had a long day, show me, touch me, you know, those are my things. And I think that communication, and that goes right into communication, is key in any relationship and any couple entrepreneur for sure, because if you're not communicating well at home, how well are you actually communicating at work on what your needs and wants are at
work? That's absolutely right. And if we have a issue at home, we bring that tension to work. Mm-hmm. And that's, it doesn't happen often at all. Since we recognize it, and since we work on it, and we are purposeful about making sure that, I mean, we really hardly even fight, like, anything.
Yeah. And
I mean, if he leaves his socks on the floor in the kitchen, you know, it's a 5-minute fight, but that's about it.
Yeah. We call those tiffs at our house. Yeah, we don't call those fights. Yes. I can't really tell you the last time Garland and I actually fought. I actually do remember. I do. And it doesn't end healthy when we fight, but our tiffs are more about like, really, dude, like pick your shit up. Right. I have 2 kids and 2 dogs that we're picking up after.
It's literally 5 feet away from where you left the trash on the counter. Why?
But in fairness, here you go, Russell. This is not team up on the men today. I am horrible about, I walk in the door and right by my island in the kitchen, I take my shoes off. Because like, it's like, how fast can I get inside to take my shoes
off? That's
what I do. Exactly. And I leave them right there. And then like Garland will like pick up a pile and he brings them into our bedroom, and then he like puts them at the foot of the bed. And that's my notice. Like, pick your 10 pairs of shoes up, you know? I call those tiffs. I don't call those arguments. But you're right. When we are frustrated with each other, it definitely rolls over to work. So look, in a real world where everything is flowers and butterflies, we don't bring anything to work, right? We're able to just drop it at the door and walk in. Well, you guys have a staff at your office. So how do y'all, when and if you bring those emotions back to the office, how do you journey that through the day with your staff? Because I can't say that I've been great at that. You know, we admit our own faults, right? If I'm frustrated with Garland, I pretty come in and I got a chip on my shoulder and I'm pretty aggravated for the day, you know, and everybody kind of reads it on my face.
I'm the same way. And I tend to tell my people what he did that aggravated me.
Amen.
Hoping for affirmation.
Yeah. I'm like, you know, Russell scheduled Leah to play softball this weekend with another team, not even our team. And now I'm going to have all the responsibility of this. And can you believe, you know, and I will, like, even though they work for me, I still, you know, I will vent to them every once in a while.
Yeah.
And it works. It lets them know that I'm real. And it also, they also see, you know, how loving Russell and I are with each other. And that's it right. Also helps them because I guess I only have one that's married. Everybody else is not married yet. And so it kind of like, you know, they like to watch.
They're Russell running out the door. They're like, I am never getting married. I'm never doing this. Right. That's what my brother says. I am never having kids if I have to deal with this. I am never getting married if I have to have a wife that's going to tell me what to do all the time. And I'm like, not every wife is like that. Just special ones.
So on a serious note, the real reason that this seminar came up is not because we recognize what we have works. It's because we had a married couple on our team that it didn't work.
That's right.
And it was horrible to watch them.
Yeah.
So it just didn't work. They became significant competitors against each other. If one didn't think the other one was working hard enough, they get called out. He got to a point where it was belittling to him and he wouldn't come in the office anymore. And then ultimately it cost them both their real estate careers. It just didn't work for them.
Right.
And then we sit there and watch them and say, you know what?
We can help.
We can help. We know. We've been through it at the very beginning. We know what they're going through. But it's one of those, you know, you don't know what you don't know.
And then we looked up on Amazon to look for books or something to read or something, you know, something that is there for educating married couples that are in business together. And there was nothing.
There's nothing. Literally, nothing. I bought one book thinking that was what it was. And it was a plumbing company where the woman's like, oh, yeah, okay, well, I do all the invoices and he does the plumbing. No, that's not what we're talking about.
No, those are job duties. Those are job duties and descriptions, exactly. Right? Y'all were looking for more in-depth, like, how do you find the root cause? And then how do you preemptively foreshadow and see how you can help somebody before that happens? You know, after the podcast, do not let me forget, I have a couple entrepreneur that I follow on Facebook. And I'm not saying I 100% agree with everything that they say, but they're a pretty cool couple to watch and they give out a lot of good nuggets. And I find that their following is pretty cool. And they've got a lot of like interaction stuff. So I'll share that with you guys too. And I'll put that on the chat for the podcast too, when it goes live. But I definitely think that you're right. There's not a lot out there for a couple entrepreneurs to lean on to really hone in on how do you make it work? I mean, that is the question that you get all the time. How do you make it work? And I think it's not a one answer. I think that you have to break it down into a lot of different things. And I do think that goes into division of job duties is the first thing. And then also leaving it at work sometimes, you know, just saying, okay, we had a really bad day. You didn't do what you were supposed to do. We screwed it up, but I still love you. And I want to love you as my husband and as my spouse and as a father or as a mother and as a wife. And I think that's where a lot of couple entrepreneurs really, really struggle. And I would love to absolutely help you guys get involved with whatever the class. We'll come be your guinea pig, talk about Erica and Garland in the class, use us as an example. Like, we love it. I love the concept. And I think that if it's really done right, I think that you're really onto something. I love the retreat aspect of it. I think that's really, really cool. But in talking about that, I know that you guys walk in faith a lot. I hear you guys. I hear you say you pray with your kids. How do you feel that that plays a huge role in not only just your power couple, but then also like with your team and at work? Because I think that some entrepreneurs struggle with how much can you do that at work? How much can you talk about that with your employees and your staff? How do y'all feel about that conversation?
So, and that has been a little bit of a struggle just to know where to draw the line. So I absolutely am a Christian and I try to bring that with me everywhere I go. So, and you teach people how to treat you, right? You totally teach them what you're okay with and what you're not okay with. And I am very much known for not liking profanity. And so because of that, you know, anybody in my office, you know, if something slips or especially the F-bomb, it's always, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry. I usually have Christian music playing. Now, sometimes I'll come in and somebody's playing something else and I'm going to sit there and listen to what they're listening to. Right. And I'll sing, you know, country, 90s country songs. And, you know, so I'm not like a, you know, oh my gosh, no. So, oh, we got to put Christian music on. So I try to accept everything and be fine with it. Now that I'm my own broker, I even got rid of my cursing jar. So I got rid of it. I'm like, I might have to, you know, totally, you know, not be so strict sometimes. But so anyway, I try to incorporate that. We pray before our meetings. And I don't expect anybody else to, you know, if I'm not here and they don't pray, that's fine, you know, but I want to incorporate that as much as I can. I believe that I am where I'm at today because of the Lord. If you knew my whole story and how I just even ended up in real estate, it's absolutely a God story and the whole thing. And just, you know, 10 years ago before real estate, I had 2 foreclosures on my credit. My car was just repossessed and nobody ever said, hey, Stacy, you need to get your real estate license. It was just how it fell in my lap. And I went to a little Christian school. I never accomplished anything, never went to college. I was a beauty school dropout. I passed my real estate exam on the first time. That alone was completely God because, you know, I didn't even know how to study or, I mean, nothing. But anyway, I give him all the glory for where we're at today. So 10 years later, we own 9 properties and, you know, and have a successful business, have dreams and visions of expanding and doing different businesses. And I didn't know what I didn't know before. And I thought I was supposed to be a house mom and struggle to pay bills every month and every month, you know, wondering how we're going to go to the grocery, you know, next week. And now it's just, my life is so different and I completely give all the glory to the Lord for that.
So I love that about you guys. And look, the Lord he needs to put a Band-Aid on my mouth because I,
hey, you've done good today.
I know, but I'm doing good because I know you're there. Oh, no, you're there. I'm really trying. We tried the curse jar at our office. And look, I'm just being honest. This is not about anything, but I put the most money in the jar. Yeah. And I'm like, this is crazy. So Garland and I have a wonderful relationship with Christ. And I am not by any means this holy or than thou that you cannot or not. And we do, we have done better. And I think that comes with your accountability, like with your staff too, right? One of my staff members is very, he does not like to be around people that cuss. And so I find myself trying very hard because I want him to be proud of me. I want him to be proud of his boss. Not that he's not by any means. I know that he absolutely loves working here, but you want to be better for those that are around you. You want to be that leader, that stature, right? And I really am trying on the cursing, but I do. I find that like, I love my alone time in the morning or at lunch. If I miss it, I feel like my day is off. I feel like my journaling, if I'm not journaling during the day, I feel like my day is off. And I know that about your staff. I know some of your staff and I know who work for you and I know that they enjoy that about you. And I love that you incorporate that. I think that so many entrepreneurs struggle with, this is my faith and I want to share that because we want to share the joy. We want to share our blessings. We want them to know where we stand, that we received all this because he gave that glory to us. But where is that line of like, this is a workplace. I think we still struggle with that between school and religion too, right?
Yeah. Sure.
And so I always ask that question, where do you find that your faith falls into your work life? And I love that it is there. And if they want to partake in that, you are open to that. And you're also open-minded enough to know that if it's just not their cup of tea right now, what if it's their cup of tea tomorrow? That's my thing.
Absolutely.
Exactly. They might not want to pray today, but maybe something will happen and he'll show his grace and then they'll pray tomorrow. And so I love that. I love that about you guys. If there's anything that you could share with a couple or even an individual that is about to start their own business or is on a journey and they're not sure what they want to do, what's your biggest advice to them?
Give each other grace and let each other do what they're good at.
Right.
And if they're not good at something, then don't make them try to make them better. Just find somebody else to do what they're not good at.
Yeah. Define your role, understand your role, and stay in your lane. That's the biggest thing. We know what she's supposed to do in this business. She knows what I'm supposed to do in this business. And unless we have to, we don't cross over into each other's responsibilities. All it's going to do is cause problems. So that's the biggest piece of advice. It's a whole section in the thing. Is to define your roles, because the last thing, what's going to happen is if you don't stay in your lane, when you go home, that's all you're going to talk about. And it's just going to all of a sudden become a 24-hour workday. And that's what the whole thing is to try to avoid.
Right. Freedom. That's what I tell everybody.
You can't have your people underneath you. Can't have two bosses. Even though they refer to Russell as, the owner, the operator, or whatever, they all know that if they have a question or need something, they come to me. And but also if it's something with construction or something with inspections, they know to go to Russell. They're not going to come to me and ask me about something wrong with the roof, and right. so they know who does what roles. And so it's defining your roles and then letting everyone else know as well what they need to do.
Yeah.
So who they need to talk to.
For each one of you, what is one thing that you envision for yourself coming up and coming for 2024? What does Stacy envision and what does Russell envision?
I want to teach our class. Our training class very much. And every time I look at it, think about it, I get super excited. I see the need for it. And it's another potential income stream for a future in coaching. I would eventually like to even coach couples that are starting businesses or are currently in business together. And it's just a matter of, just taking one step forward, just one step forward. So I don't necessarily desire to be Gary Keller and have a giant, national real estate brand, but maybe one day, because I did want that 5 years ago. And you know what? That's okay. That's okay that your vision changes.
That's right. Your vision board changes.
Yeah, absolutely does.
So what do you have, Russell?
So I think my one thing is this is where we differ, and it's a good differ. So everything I do revolves around my family, everything. So my one thing.
It's probably take 10 vacations.
Well, close, but.
Stacy, you better get to work, girl.
And we're almost there by the end of 2024, I want to have our residual income high enough to where if we want to take 10 vacations, we can pack up and go tomorrow. That's where it is. So we've all, we go through these classes and the first thing they ask you is, what do you want out of your life? What do you want out of your life? Hers is, I want to be a millionaire. Mine is, I want to have a family life that people are going to be jealous of. That's what I want.
So guys, it is so amazing to talk to y'all. So everybody that knows me intimately knows that I have a business coach, but he is not only a business coach, he is a personal coach, he is a life coach. And I absolutely love my win rate team. And one thing that I will tell you is that you and Stacy have a very similar relationship to Garland and I. And what you guys just envisioned for yourself is what our first call this year was with my coach. And that was very odd to just listen to what you wanted, Stacy, and then to listen to what you wanted, Russell, because Garland came from a very low income family that had hardly anything. And he is so content with our life right now. It is about the vacations. It is about being at the baseball field for 24 hours playing baseball. It is about going to every dance competition. It's about having all of that extra family time for those vacations and those things. And he told our coach, I'm okay with obviously making more money. I'm not going to sit here and say that money doesn't make the world go round. But if you ask me what my perfect day is spending time with my family, doing whatever we want, whenever we want, and not having to think about a dollar value ever.
That's right.
And so it is so interesting to hear that from you, Russell, because Garland actually teared up when he told Sam that, because it was just that humbling and honest for him. Stacy, I had a vision board that was like this 10 deep of things that I was like, I'm going to accomplish this. I want to meet this margin this year. I want to meet this income. I want to meet this profit margin. And, but what I realized is that, you know what, that's why we work, because did you not just realize he can't do all of those things without what I envisioned. Right. And so it goes back to exactly what we talked about at the beginning of the call. And I'm so glad that it made a full circle that you guys truly balance each other out. And I remember when Sam looked at us during our call and he said, you guys are two amazing individuals. And if you can just power couple through that and through your visions, you guys are going to go so far. And I am so excited to see what you guys are going to do. I'm so excited about your class. I want to stay involved. I want to know about the class. Do not let me find out that you post this class on Facebook and I don't know about it first. But I hope and pray that everything that you guys have will come to fruition. And I hope that you are posting vacations all day long this upcoming year. And I think that it will truly happen because you have a visionary that is right next to you that I know that is truly going to make that happen for you guys. So to wrap things up, where can everybody find y'all?
So
she laughed.
RandProperties.net would be our website. And we do not have a website for Rhythm yet. That is how new it was. It was, like I said, it was a Keller Williams thing. And now, but it's, you know, it's mine. So I need.
But they can drop you a message through your website or through Facebook and say, hey, I'm interested in hearing more about the class. Or, hey, can you put me on a link? Perfect.
Absolutely. So Rand Properties on Facebook as well. And I need to do a Facebook Rhythm page too.
Yeah.
Well, I think that when the podcast goes live, that would be a great opportunity. So I'm going to give you a due date for you to have your class ready.
All right,
I will follow up with you because I'm that excited about it, because I know that there are other people out there. And because of me doing the podcast with Power Couples, we keep having almost similar conversations that people are looking for an outlet. They're looking for ways to connect. They're looking for other couples that have been through it. So when we decide when this episode is going to go live, I'm going to let you know, and I am going to challenge you to have a due date so that then when we do go live, I can drop your nugget on where they can find it and when they can sign
absolutely
up for it.
We'll do it.
I love it. Guys, thank you so much for coming. Thank you so much for hanging out with me today. I hope that you got all kinds of information to empower, embrace, and elevate, even if it's just for 1 hour a week. Have a good one.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Thank you for joining us on this exhilarating episode of Escapes. We hope that you've been inspired, empowered, and ready to embark on your own journey. The power to escape and redefine is within you. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe, rate, and review Escapes to help us reach more incredible women and men like you. You can also follow me on Facebook at ENG Designs and Construction and Instagram at Build with ENG. Stay tuned for more amazing stories, insights, and strategies in our upcoming episodes. Together, we'll rewrite the scripts of our unknown possibilities. Until next time, this is Erica Hemphill from Escapes. Your adventure continues, and we can't wait to be a part of it. Until next time, continue to embrace, empower, and elevate.